It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. Miss Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is my spirit dad, woo, Pastor Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, you say I'm your spirit dad, and people go, "That's your dad, man." No wonder his beard's white and his hair's white. Monica done gave that guy gray hair.
Yeah, he's got half of them just since I started going to church, y'all.
That's it.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, or you can post it to our Facebook page. Or, are you ready for this, y'all? Get a pen and paper. Are you ready? You can text it to our prayer and praise line at 580-485-0837. I'm going to say it again. 580-485-0837. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located at the Promise Center here in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. I think I covered it all.
I think you did.
Would you pray to start us out, sir?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we come together for this program, Father, we know that you have ordained this program. Father, you have birthed it and you have sustained it through all these years and through every change and every turn, and we believe that it's because you desire to use it to be your voice. Father, I thank you for all the guests that come today into this program, especially for the one today. Oh, we thank you, Father, for the guests that do come and come with their hearts filled with what they believe you desire them to share. And Father, again today, Father, I know that I've come with my heart filled with what I know you've put in my heart to share today. And I ask, Lord, that your blessing be upon this program, that you give each one of us ears to hear, hearts to receive what you want to say. And, Father, I pray for those who are listening. Father, whether they're listening to me live, listen to us live right now this morning on the Hour of Power, or whether you're hearing this later, I pray the Lord would open your heart, open your understanding, and speak to you today that word that you need to hear. And, Father, we intend and purpose in our hearts that whatever's done here, we ask you to bring glory to the name of Jesus, our love, our Savior, our Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning.
Yeah.
God works in some things.
No, that's you didn't get
oh,
quite right.
It? Oh.
The good things. Oh, wait, that's not right either.
Okay. Oh, all things.
All things.
Okay.
All things. If Terrell Glaze was here, you know what would happen. He'd be, everybody. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he works in all things, you know.
I love
that. That guy messed me up forever. I love it. I thank God for him. I thank God for all my Christian sisters and brothers and for the positive influence that you are in our lives. And, you know, this is a time where we need each other. If you didn't know that, God called us to be the body of Christ, not to be the lone ranger of Christ.
Come on.
And so if you have... Maybe someone's hearing me today and you just kind of haven't been fellowshipping with other believers. I just want to encourage you today. God has a church family for you, and I want to encourage you to get into it, wherever that might be. Ask the Holy Spirit where to have you to go. If you drive by church and you're feeling your heart inclined to be there, then maybe go check it out. See what God has for you in that place. And if you're in Burns Flat area and you're looking for a church home, I can tell you this for a fact, that any of the churches in Burns Flat would be more than happy to welcome you into their fold, and you'll receive love and grace. And I'm speak, of course, on behalf of Living Waters. We'd love to have the opportunity to help you grow in your faith and just show you the love of Jesus. Well, I want to get right to the word this morning. I tell you, I hope and pray I can get all the way through what God just downloaded in me. I sat down this morning. I thought, well, I'm going to share this. You know, I had something already ahead. And then I went into my study right before I came, and I sat down, and the Lord just downloaded something into me that in about 15, 20 minutes that I don't know that I'll be able to share all of it this morning, but I'm sure going to try, because it's a right now word for us as the body of Christ from the Lord. If you got a chance, get your Bible, get a notebook and a pen. You may want to write some scriptures down so that you can study them. Always study the scriptures to see. I don't care who's teaching. Always put your eyes on the Word of God for yourself and look at the context and see to it that the Spirit of God is showing you what you need to be seeing. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and I'm just going to begin reading. We're going to go verse 1 through 8 here. Matthew 24, 1 through 8 to start with. Thank you, Father, for blessing your word. Amen. Jesus left the temple, and he was walking away. Matthew 24. He left the temple. He was walking away when the disciples came up to call his attention to its buildings. Jesus said, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." I can only imagine how hard that was for them to comprehend, because they were standing there in front of a temple that was huge and beautiful and had taken many, 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 many years at the hand of God to build. And I'm sure that as Jewish believers in God, that they were convinced, thoroughly convinced, there is no way that God would ever let anyone destroy this temple. And Jesus, they didn't ask him about the temple. "Hey, Jesus, how long is the temple going to be here?" It was inconceivable to them that anything would ever happen to that temple. And Jesus just jumps right in there and says, "I'm going to tell you something about this temple you're pointing out to me about how beautiful it is." They were pointing at it saying, "Look what God has done. Look how wonderful God," you know, it's like nobody could, you know. And Jesus said, "I'll tell you the truth, that not one of these stones that you're looking at," and they were huge stones, "not one of them is going to be left one upon the other." And that actually came to fulfillment when the Romans came in and leveled Jerusalem because the Jews refused to submit to their authority. In 70 AD, they literally come in and leveled Jerusalem, and that temple later had to be rebuilt. But Jesus' prophecy came to pass exactly as he had said. Now, it said Jesus, verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, that's across the valley and on the other hillside, looking toward the temple, the disciples came to him privately and they said, "Tell us, when will this happen?" This destruction of the temple, that's one thing. "When will this happen? When will this sign of your coming?" What will be the sign of your coming? That's two things. And of the end of the age. That's three things. They might have thought it was all one thing, but it's actually three questions. They said, "When will this happen?" The destruction of the temple. "What will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out." That's the number one thing. Is be on guard. Just keep looking. Keep watching. If you don't, here's a clue for you. If you don't bury your head in the sand and refuse to see the signs that God gives us, you're going to be well aware of what's going on in the world, and it's not going to be surprising to you. So the first thing is I want to tell you today is this. Don't be troubled. Don't be worried. Just be watchful. Keep an eye on things. Don't get frustrated with the way the world's going and go bury your head in the sand. You need to know what's going on in the world. Now, don't let it overwhelm you. Don't go watching the lamestream fake news media so much that you're filled with so many lies in your heart and in your mind that you can no longer have peace, because you've allowed that chaos from all them to just take over your peace. I'm going to tell you, get news, but get it from the right sources. Check your sources. Amen. Be a fact checker. Check your sources. Jesus said, "Watch out, see that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ." Now, that's been happening from even in his day, and it's happened all throughout history. It's still happening. That is an ongoing sign that people would be claiming that they're the Christ. And they will deceive many. There have been people like David Koresh down there in Waco, Texas, a few years back, claiming to be Christ. Some guy in Miami, Florida at one time had 1.5 million followers. He was a Cuban immigrant, smoked cigars, womanizer, drinker, claimed he was Christ. Over a million people followed him online and this and that. We cannot be deceived by these things. We need to be aware. We need to be aware. Jesus said this. He said, you're going to hear about people pretending to be Christ, and they will deceive many. He said, you will hear of this. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. And I want to hit on that for a second. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. I can't remember any time in my life when there's not been wars going on somewhere. As a little kid, I remember growing up, Vietnam was going on when I was a little kid. And it was just a normal, everyday thing to see reports on the TV or whatever. And I grew up playing Army, thinking that that's what was going to happen. You know, the draft was still in effect then. And I figured, well, when I get a little older, I'll just go in the Army and I'll just go to the war. I mean, that's what I thought as a little kid. But thank God that thing came to an end, and others have come to an end. And in a lot of ways, the world has gotten better. There haven't been any great, big, multinational conflicts. And I realize that some of these things that we've been involved in, the war in Afghanistan and those things, those are big conflicts. And I thank God for every veteran, every man and woman who were willing to wear the uniform of the United States of America and defend our freedom. Because if we don't go after tyranny and we allow evil to just go unchecked, it will just continue to grow. And so I thank God for veterans. And every time I get a chance, if I see someone wearing a hat or something tells me they're a veteran, I go thank them for their service. I don't care when they served or how they served. Someone might say, well, I don't agree with that war. Well, who agrees, in all honesty, who wants a war? Nobody really wants a war, if you're thinking right. But Jesus said that war is going to be one of the signs that tells you about the end. And so he says there are going to be wars, and there's also going to be rumors of wars. Like maybe you've heard here lately, Vladimir Putin put his nuclear forces on high alert. Now, that scares a lot of people. First of all, it doesn't scare me because, number one, I don't even know for sure if it's true. I say, well, I know it's true. Okay, well, you know it's true. It still doesn't scare me because I know this. I know that what I'm going to share with you today is the truth, and the truth is that in all things, God is working. Now, Romans 8:28, if you just want to jot that down, you can look at it later. But in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that in all things, good, bad, and otherwise, God works together for the good for those who love him. That's me. How about you? That's me. Those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, that called according to his purpose is kind of can have two meanings. In Romans 8:28 says, we know that God works together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Sounds like that called according to his purpose is talking about the people. I love the Lord and I'm called according to his purpose. But I want you to think about it slightly differently today. I don't want to disagree with that. I don't want to take away from that, but I want to add to it. Suppose we add to that this meaning. We know that God works together for the good to all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All those things, he works together for the good in all things and are called according to his purpose. The things are called. God calls for things to happen on a schedule that only he knows and understands. God calls things forth. Things don't just happen by coincidence. God, on a world stage, God calls things to happen. I want to give you a great assurance today, if I possibly can, that you really don't need to worry. You just need to pray and trust that God is working all things for the good of those that love him, no matter what nation a person lives in. So I'm going to keep reading here just a little bit more in Matthew 24. Jesus said in verse 6, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. So the number one thing today when we're hearing about what's going on in Ukraine and Russia and different parts around the world, and maybe we'll hear about more wars before the end of the day is over, who knows? But Jesus said when you do, that these are simply signs of the end of the times. And he said, don't be alarmed about it. Now, he did not say don't pray about it. He said, don't be alarmed about it. Don't let fear seize your heart about it. He says, such things must happen, but the end has not come. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation. That's literally, the Greek word is ethnos. It means people groups. Kingdom against kingdom. Now, that means governments. And there will be famines. There will be earthquakes in various places. Now, I want you to focus on verse 8. We're going to stop in this passage right there for today. Matthew 24:8. All these, the wars, the rumors of wars, people claiming to be Christ, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquake. He said all of these are the beginning of birth pains. The beginning of birth pains. Now, Jesus was pretty clear that we weren't going to know the hour when all these things were going to come to pass. You look further in this chapter to verse 32. Jesus said, "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. When the twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that the summer is near. And even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation," which could be speaking of the church, "this season, this generation, will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So Jesus said, you're going to see the signs. You're going to know the time. Just like here outside, you know, today here in Western Oklahoma, it's like 70. It's going to be 76 to 77 degrees. I guarantee you this ain't going to take long, and we're going to see the little old trees starting to bud out. Winter will be over. Praise God. I'm not a winter person. I don't like winter. I like warm. But when we start seeing that, you don't have to go, "Well, I wonder if it's ever going to be spring." It's like we can see spring coming, but it ain't here yet. And in the same way, Jesus is saying, if you'll just kind of keep an eye on these things, you'll know the time is coming, and you can sense the time drawing near. So is that something we should be afraid of? By no means. Jesus said even about the wars and the rumors of wars, he goes, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be alarmed. Now I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is kind of similar to Romans 8:28. They go together like a hand and a glove. Ephesians chapter 1, in particular verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, in him, it's speaking of Christ. It's talking about the mystery of us being in Christ. This is the context of Ephesians 1. And it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan. Now, you need all to stop right there and go, God's got a plan. According to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. There's a lot more there than what you can read over that so quick that you don't even get it. I'm going to read it again very slowly. In him we were chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything. You ought to just stop maybe in your notes. You just write down, God works out everything. God works out everything. God will work it out. Whatever it is that's troubling you today, whatever it is that might make you feel a little overwhelmed, you're bombarded, fear, anxiety, whatever it is, and maybe it's just frustration. Maybe you're not afraid of it, but you're frustrated. You know, sometimes I see the reports, I hear things coming out of Washington, D.C., and I don't get afraid, I just get frustrated. But I do want to stop right here on this point and say something about Washington, D.C. We got a praise report. We got a praise report. A lot of people don't even know this, but several months ago, the House of Representatives, under the lack of leadership called Nancy Pelosi, they pushed through a pro-abortion bill that literally, what they were trying to do was, fancy word, codify. They were trying to make it the law of the land that a woman could opt to have an abortion any time in her pregnancy that she wants to, right up to the day of birth, and for any and every reason. So, in other words, they were trying to sanction the murder of unborn babies. And unborn lives matter. And if you don't believe unborn lives matter, you need to read your Bible. Because the Bible says that God knits us together in the womb of our mother, that he knows us before he forms us. So you can't tell me that God don't care about the unborn babies in the womb. As a matter of fact, the very first human on the planet to recognize the lordship of Jesus was John the Baptist. 3 months before he was born. Yeah, you want to read about that, go to the Gospels and go read where John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, when Mary came shortly after she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit carrying the baby Jesus in her womb, says she went to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant. And as she came in, the baby, John, called the Bible calls John, 6 months in the womb, 3 months from being born, says John, the baby, leapt in her womb. Yeah, he did a little cartwheel in there. We've got to get in this country. Please be praying. Continue to pray. Hold it up. Supreme Court's going to come out of their groundhog hole in June, and we're believing God and praying that they're going to rule rightly, and they're going to strike down Roe versus Wade, which is never a law. It was just a judicial ruling. There's nothing in our Constitution that guarantees a person to take another person's life. And that person I'm referring to in this case would be a woman taking the life of her very own child inside her womb. The Constitution doesn't guarantee you the right to murder somebody. What it does guarantee is that each one of us in the Declaration of Independence says we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, if you don't have life, it's pretty hard to have liberty and the pursuit of happiness. If someone ends your life before you even get to take your first breath, and someone might hear that and they go, well, wait a minute, life doesn't begin until you take your first breath. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what science proves. Science proves that life begins at conception. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we have a great opportunity, the greatest opportunity since I was 10 years old. I was 10 years old when the Supreme Court ruled Roe versus Wade was going to be the thing, and that a woman should have a right to an abortion. Science back then was not what science is now. I love what Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma did. He took a color 3D ultrasound into the pictures of it into Congress, into the Senate, and stood up there and asked the other senators, we only have to determine one thing. Is this a baby? Can suck its own thumb. It can feel pain. It has emotions because they can smile and frown. They can hear sounds. They can react to responses. If you take that baby out of the womb, it's been proven more and more and more and more that babies as little as barely over like 12, 14 ounces, less than a pound, have a viable opportunity to live outside the womb. I mean, science is proving that abortion is murder. And it's got to end. And I know I went a little more on that subject than I intended to. But I do want to say this. If someone's listening to me and you have had an abortion or you know someone who's had an abortion, I want you to understand this. God is the God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And the fact that you may have been deceived and you didn't realize, and man, I hate it. I feel like, you know, according to you, I murdered my own baby. How can I live with that? Well, you can live with that by, I believe you wouldn't even be listening to me if you hadn't already asked God to forgive you. But if you haven't asked God to forgive you, he will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will heal you. You obviously didn't do that knowing what you know now. If you knew then what you know now, you wouldn't have done that. God understands that. That doesn't make it right. But God wants to forgive, and God wants to cleanse of the guilt. I'll tell you what you can do. You say, well, I don't know what I could ever do to make up for it. Well, become an advocate for life. Use your passion to help others not make the same mistake. Glory to God. God is a God of grace and forgiveness. If he can forgive the Apostle Paul for hunting down the followers of Jesus, come on purpose he did that. He can certainly forgive us of whatever it is. And sin is sin. We have to confess it, but God forgives us. So, in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we were chosen, 1 verse 11, having been predestined according to the plan. And I told you a while ago, right, you ought to make a note, God has a plan. And God is working that plan. Things don't get out of control. Even if people manipulate things, even if elections are stolen like it was down there in Chile, recently, maybe here in the United States too, in 2020, But you know what I think about that? I said, well, that doesn't change the fact that God is working the plan. I may not like it. You may not like it. Someone else may like it. Whether you like it or you don't like it, one thing's true. God has a plan, and he's working all things in conformity to that plan. That's what the Word says. And the Word don't lie. If the Bible says that God has a plan and he is working all things in conformity to that plan, and in context, the proof of God having a plan and working it in conformity to the plan is the fact that he's saying, you know, if you back up above that, God's blessed us in the heavenly realm with every blessing. He's done it in Christ Jesus. The mystery of Christ was hidden, but now we who've been chosen by God were foreordained and predestined to receive Christ, and here it is, you know. It goes, God was working a plan all along, all throughout history, all throughout the creation of the world and through and all throughout Jewish history and all throughout the Old Testament. God was working a plan to bring the world to a place where Jesus Christ could enter this world as our Savior and Messiah. And that's a plan that is. And when it's talking about the plan in Ephesians 1, that's the main plan. That's the plan that it's talking about Jesus coming to be our Messiah. But I don't believe that that's the only plan God has. I don't believe that the only plan God has is about spiritual things. I believe that God cares about every detail of our life, and he cares about what's going on in the world. And I would imagine that most of you who are hearing me today, if not all of you, you're aware that there are things going on in the world. You're well aware of wars and rumors of wars and politics and things. I just want to remind you before we go to our prayer break here in just a minute or two, I just want to remind you that we don't have any reason to worry because God is working his plan. He's working that plan. Real quickly, before we go to that break, let's look at John 14:1. And if you don't have your prayer requests or praise reports to us, we'd like to hear from you. Get those to us real quick. We're going to pray. I'll make you a promise. We'll use every ounce of faith we got. We'll believe God's word concerning your situation, whatever it is. John 14:1. Now, you need context to really appreciate this scripture. The context is Jesus has been with his disciples. They gave up everything to follow him. And they've been with him now for about 3 years. And they go into Jerusalem during the Feast of the Passover. And he has them find a room and prepare the Passover meal. And he's with them. And in the 13th chapter, he takes upon himself the form of a servant, washes their feet, gives them an illustration. Judas Iscariot dips bread in the same time as Jesus, who Jesus had said, someone's going to betray me, and Judas was the one. Judas had left, and Jesus and his disciples had also left that upper room, and they were fixing to walk out toward the Garden of Gethsemane, which if you're not familiar with, that's where Jesus went and prayed. And the Bible says he prayed so intensely in that time that his sweat became like great drops of blood. He asked three disciples to pray with him, but they kept falling asleep. And then here comes the crowd to arrest Jesus. They're going to take him. They're going to, by the next morning, by the time the sun's up the next morning, they're going to have had a kangaroo trial. They can take Jesus out first thing in the morning and literally almost beat him to death. They're going to whip him with a Roman whip called a cat of nine tails, which had nine strips of leather with pieces of bone or metal in them that would literally rip the flesh off your hide. And they were going to whip Jesus with that whip and tear his flesh and wound him across his back so horrifically that and beat him so much that when he hung on the cross, the prophecy of Isaiah says that his visage was so marred. In other words, his what he looked like was so beat up that he didn't even look like a man anymore. That's what was about to happen to Jesus when he was going to say what we're about to read. And they, after they beat him like that, they're going to crucify him. And he is going to die, and he is going to be buried in a tomb. And on the third day, he's going to rise. But they couldn't even begin to comprehend all that. When Jesus tried to tell them that, they just couldn't or wouldn't receive it. But that's what they're about to have to see. They're about to have to see Jesus arrested, beaten severely, and crucified and buried. They're going to see that. In the next 3 days after this statement is made by Jesus, that's what they're going to see. By the next day, they're going to see him beaten almost to death and crucified. And then in the next 2 days, all they're going to know is that he's laying over there in that tomb in that garden. That's all they're going to know. And here's what Jesus told them about all of it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He said, don't let your hearts, don't let it. He didn't say you're not going to have an opportunity to be troubled. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he went on to tell them why. Trust God. Trust God. Somebody, I mean, I know there are people out there that are going, man, that Vladimir Putin, he going to start World War III. He made a threat to the NATO leaders that if they didn't back off and if they didn't quit supporting Ukraine, that he was going to punish them with a punishment that they had never seen before. And you know Russia got a lot of nuclear weapons. And even the analysts of could not have been implying anything by that comment except that he is threatening to use nuclear weapons against the nations of NATO, not just against Ukraine. He's literally has threatened to start World War III. Or has he? He's been known to boast. He's been known to make statements he didn't follow through with. Praise God for that. But I'll tell you this, no matter what's in that man's heart, that Vladimir Putin, no matter what's in his heart, I know one thing for certain. I trust God. And I'm not troubled. Now, am I praying? Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. We desperately need to pray. Pray for the people of Ukraine. Pray for the Russian people. There are Russians being forced to fight that war. Don't want to. They are being forced by Vladimir Putin and his officials to go over there and fight against literally not just the Ukrainian army, but civilians, against women, children. They're not up following the rules of war. They're launching missiles into neighborhoods. They're doing things. Maybe you've seen on TV the other day, a Russian tank came around the corner coming down the street, and just on purpose, you can see him gas it because the black smoke rolls out of the tank, and he turns and veers and runs right over the top of a civilian car that's coming down the street. That civilian car had an 80-year-old man in it driving it, and that tank literally just boom, runs up over the top of that car on purpose. That's attempted murder. That's not war. That's the kind of spirit that's behind this whole thing. That's what's going on. But the good news is this. Watch this. If you can see, you may see that clip somewhere online or on the news. That tank comes and it literally just crushes that car, of course. It's not a very big car. And you're thinking, and this lady that's videoing this thing out the window of her apartment upstairs, she just loses it. She's bonkers. She's screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God, did you see what happened? You know, because this tank is sitting on top of this car, and then the tank backs up and crushes it some more, and then backs up and leaves and goes down the street. Well, here come people all running out there, and they go out there, and they start getting pry bar stuff, and that whole top of that car is crushed and ripped off, and guess what? Sitting right there in the driver's seat, leaned over with just some cuts and some bruises, is an 80-year-old man sitting there alive with just cuts and bruises after being his little car being ran over the top of by a tank. You know, I'm tell you what I think of that? I think that God got a plan. And God was working in that man's life to spare his life. And so, listen, God has a plan. We need to trust God. You know, some people go, well, I don't care about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine and whatever else. Well, first of all, you should care because it's going to affect you. Next time you go buy gasoline, it's going to affect you. If nothing else, it's going to hurt your pocketbook. But I think we ought to care a little more deeply than just our pocketbook. I think we ought to care about people that are innocent, brothers and sisters in Christ in both countries and in the countries around that. And brothers and sisters in Christ being persecuted elsewhere. We ought to care. But we shouldn't let that care bring us to a place where we're overwhelmed with concern. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And those disciples were about to see something that was going to rock their world. And he said, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust God. Trust also in me. Some translations say, you trust God. Trust also in me. The whole issue, listen to me. If you're troubled, you need to get this. If you're troubled, oh, I'm so troubled. I'm worried. I'm not trying not to be, but I'm just am. You know what your problem is? You got trust issue. And the greatest way to trust God is praying. So we're going to do some of that right now.